Hello and welcome to the Perfect Formula, brought to you by V2 Sport. Tonight we'll be discussing the British Grand Prix.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. It was a lot more enjoyable than the recent ones we've seen.
Yeah, we'll be talking about the race. There's a few other stories that have caught my eye as well over the last week or so. First of all, there was the incident at the start of the race. It wasn't a great start from Lewis Hamilton. He dropped down a little, and then he had that crash with Kimi Raikkonen on the third, fourth corner. Your thoughts?
I don't think it was a good start for either of the Mercedes, to be perfectly honest with you. Hamilton's was very slow. I think Raikkonen is fully at fault for the incident that happened on that corner. And I think without that incident on that corner, we would have had a closer race between Hamilton and Vettel. If you look at how Hamilton chased around the pack, as it were, it suggests that he would have had a much better race if that incident hadn't have happened.
Yeah, there's a few points I can raise. First of all, I want to talk about the actual penalty which was handed out to Raikkonen, a 10 second penalty. We said after the previous race that the 5 second penalty that Sebastian Vettel got for his incident with Bottas wasn't harsh enough.
Yeah.
Is a 10-second penalty fair? Because I would say it was sort of a similar incident, Raikkonen at fault.
Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, it had the desired effect, which is that Raikkonen lost a position for it. I think the main problem with this is the fact that this is the second time in as many races that a Ferrari has hit a Mercedes and took them out of the running for the race for at least part of the race. I mean, the amount of impact it had on Bottas last time was significant. The amount of impact it had on Hamilton this time was significant. And I think if that happens for a third time, the stewards will look for some sort of other punishment. Because, you know, you can have a coincidence. You can't have a coincidence twice, three times.
It sounds like you're suggesting that Kimi Raikkonen deliberately crashed into Lewis Hamilton.
I think if we see it a third time, I would say that. A second time, you know, fair enough, you can have coincidences. But to have it a third time, that wouldn't be a coincidence anymore. That would be them altering the championship lead by sabotaging another team.
Well, hang on, let's go back to the previous race. Why would Vettel screw up his own race crashing into... If Vettel is this championship leader and it's all
he
about
him... He didn't really screw up his own race, though.
Well, he ended up at the back with Bottas. He had to fight through the field in the end, same as Bottas. So he prevented himself competing for a win in France.
Yeah, but at that time you can think it would be a quantified risk, which is I may take myself out, I may not.
Yeah, but why risk that? If it was Lewis Hamilton he was neck and neck with, I could perhaps understand it. But I think talk of a conspiracy.
I'm not saying it is at the moment. I'm saying if it happens for a third time, you would be suspicious.
Okay. Well, immediately after the race, I know Hamilton and Toto Wolff in their interviews, which we watched on Sky, both of them said something about Ferrari tactics and were very dubious about the incident. But Kimi Raikkonen, to be fair to him, straight after the race, put his hands up and apologised. He said he messed up. However, since then, Lewis Hamilton, on his Instagram, this morning, said... I've got a quote here. Kimi said sorry and I accept that and we move on. It was a racing incident and nothing more. Sometimes we say dumb shit, referring to the Ferrari tactics, and we learn from it. Hamilton overreacting because he, you know, it was obviously a tough race for him, and you know, in that interview, you know, that media ruckus after, he's gonna say dumb shit, as he puts it.
I think Vettel would have said exactly the same if the situation had been reversed, which is that, you know, the previous race, Raikkonen was taken out because of an incident with Mercedes, and then he was taken, to a certain extent, taken out by an incident with Mercedes. He would have said exactly the same sort of thing, because Mercedes-Ferrari fighting for the championship positions. And as such, you know, you are going to wonder if there's an incident twice in a row where... you know, one car's been significantly taken out of the running for that race. whether there is planning going on for that. It's a natural thought process in that situation. You know, not minding who the drivers are, but purely considering the fact that these two manufacturers and teams are going for the Constructors' Championship.
Mm. Okay, so your thoughts then on putting all that conspiracy stuff aside, for that particular race, Raikkonen got a 10-second penalty. Do you think that was the correct punishment, or should they have been harsher or more lenient, maybe?
I don't think they should have been more lenient. The amount of damage it had to the race for Mercedes, ignoring Hamilton individually, but for Mercedes, is significant. But also, I don't think you could have it any more. I don't think they could have made it more severe without it seeming...
Well, they could have given him a drive-through penalty, instance, or a 30-second penalty.
Yeah, but I think if they were going to do such a severe punishment, that would be them essentially saying, we think this is team orders, we think this is, you know, Ferrari trying to take out Mercedes cars for the championship. So they couldn't do that, and I don't think they've got enough evidence to say that that is the case at the moment. Like I said, if it happens a third time, can see a serious punishment going through, because at the end of the day, if it happens for a third time, that's not a coincidence.
Well, I'm sure we'll all be listening for the coded team orders at the next race. I just want to pick up on a point you mentioned a few minutes ago as well earlier in the show. You said about both Mercedes made a poor start, and I think that's a very good point, because Raikkonen was blocked off by Bottas, and we could have very easily seen a Ferrari 1-2, at the end of the first lap.
I'm not sure whether those Ferraris would have held on to that, though. Considering the speed that we saw the McLarens have after they got started, I would say that the McLaren car is still the faster car. But Mercedes car is still the faster car. Even if you look not only at the original grid start, but if you look at the yellow safety car starts, even then the Mercedes car was significantly slower getting off the mark. You know, going from that slower speed to the higher, quicker. So it seems like the acceleration on the Mercedes car this weekend was not there. It just wasn't there. I mean, they had the straight line speed, they had the general speed, but acceleration speed was not really there.
Mm-hmm. And looking at the race as a whole, Hamilton, a decent comeback drive, finishing second. He was a bit fortunate, I think, with the safety car. That probably put him up a couple positions more. But, you know, to leave that weekend only, 8 points behind Vettel, I'm sure he'll be pretty delighted with that.
I don't think the safety car meant all that much in the growth of his position. He was chasing down the other cars anyway, to be perfectly honest with you. And he was on a different tyre strategy, so we can't exactly predict what would have happened. But without that safety car, I think we can safely assume that either those cars would have tried to stick it out till the end on those medium compounds, or they would have had a late pit stop at the end, which would have then worked to Hamilton's advantage anyway. So I don't think you can say that the safety car really worked in his advantage all that well.
The best case scenario Hamilton could have hoped for, Vettel and Bottas were both a pit stop clear of Hamilton, and the other cars were maybe 10-12 seconds up the road, if I remember rightly. So the best case scenario for Hamilton would have been a third place, and that's being very optimistic.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, the safety car happened in the 33rd lap, and Hamilton was lapping incredibly quickly at that point. He was chasing down I think it was the fifth position. He was chasing it down at a speed of something like gaining 2 seconds of, 2 seconds a lap.
Yeah.
He was chasing them down incredibly quickly. And so I don't think you can say, I think he would have only got a third, because you've got to put into account the amount of tyre wear that the other teams would have had. And I don't think Ferrari would have wanted to go in for a second pit stop without the safety car. I think they would have stayed out. And if that's the case, then they wouldn't have been able to fight.
You see, I can't see a case for Hamilton finishing you know, as I say, third at the very most. But anyway, we move on from that. It was, you know, a great drive for him. Mm-hmm. But you've got to talk about the Mercedes strategy to leave both of them out. I think for Hamilton, probably the right decision. But Bottas, you know, how many times do we want to talk about him being unlucky? I mean, had the Mercedes team made what I think would have been the correct call, and what is obviously now the correct call. I know I said it at the time as well as we were watching the race, but had they put him in, brought him in, you know, he would have all but guaranteed second place.
It's difficult because something that you didn't have, information that you didn't have when they were making that call, was the fact that the only soft tyres that they had on them were tyres that have already been used. Now, they take longer to warm up anyway. They've already been used. They also don't last as long, and they're not generally as fast. They've already had their fastest laps taken out of them.
Yeah.
And as such, you know, it also depends. We don't know how many laps were on those soft tyres.
Well, you're talking, what, 5 laps or so? It's qualifying tyres.
Yeah. But 5 laps when you're going to be pushing it on the tyres anyway, most likely.
On one of the laps. On the one qualifying lap, not on the other laps. You're not pushing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, in terms of going the distance on those soft tyres, you know, because they were looking at 20 laps on those soft tyres, that was going to be questionable anyway.
Well, in the end, it was about 10 laps because...
Yeah, but they couldn't predict that was going to happen. As far as they were concerned, you know, the safety car wasn't going to be out for very long, which for the first one, it wasn't really.
It's about 5 laps.
Yeah. But they were going to end up with already used soft tyres for Bottas on an incredibly hot day with much more tyre degradation than they were expecting. I mean, they saw from Ferrari the amount of tyre degradation they were getting. And I think that's what took them into account as well. They took that into account. They took the fact that the Ferrari's soft tyres previously didn't last as long as they expected them to. So I can see where they're coming from that. I think Mercedes' main failing for the weekend was the fact they didn't bring any spares.
Well, yeah, that's obviously something, you know, they have to decide weeks in advance how many of each tyre, and maybe they could have been a bit more intelligent in qualifying. But I think even if it was a scrubbed set, you know, a used set of tyres from qualifying, or a fresh set of mediums, I think they were, it was a ridiculous decision not to pit Bottas. Hamilton, I can understand, but Bottas, for
I think to a certain extent, Bottas was a sacrificial lamb for that. I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at Hamilton's points, Vettel's points, and Bottas's points, Bottas doesn't really have a chance of catching up anymore, even before that race.
Bottas is 67 off Vettel now.
Yeah.
And 59 behind his teammate.
Bottas doesn't have a chance of catching for the championship anymore, not really. Not unless Vettel, you know, crashes every single race from now on.
Well, not every single. No. But, a couple of.
Yeah, but, you know, you're looking at circumstances that are, you know, if not unusual, very, very unlikely for Bottas to win the championship. And so I think it came down to the fact that Bottas, if he didn't pit, he would be ahead of Vettel. He could hold Vettel off for a bit, whilst Hamilton got some heat back into those medium compound tyres. And I believe that they had some sort of setup arranged for a, you know, safety car start, where Bottas, you know, helped provide Hamilton with a bit of help in position. Those didn't really work, but at the end of the day, the position was held out for Hamilton. If they didn't have Bottas in the front, I think Hamilton would have been third. He would have been behind a Vettel, Raikkonen, 1-2. It's as simple as that. If Bottas had pitted, I don't think Bottas would have been able to catch up, and I don't think he would have been able to get a podium position. So he ends up being a sacrificial lamb. It's more worthwhile Hamilton getting the points for being second rather than getting the points for being third or fourth.
I think the Mercedes would have got a 2-3, a second and third either way.
Not with Raikkonen's. Raikkonen was on good form.
He was, and I do want to talk about Raikkonen in a second. But do you think Mercedes have written off Bottas this season then, in terms of the World Championship? You think they're completely similar to Ferrari with Vettel, they're completely going. Fair enough.
I think in terms, if you look at the points, the chances of Bottas, you know, winning, they're minute, to be perfectly honest. And it makes sense as a team to put their hopes 4 points behind Hamilton now.
Okay.
And as such, I think they chose Hamilton to get, you know, Bottas can hold off Vettel for a bit, slow Vettel down, whilst Hamilton gets some speed back into those tyres.
But as for Raikkonen, he continued his very good run of form. He didn't look great earlier in the season, but now he's got third place and generally has finished well. He's finished ahead of Vettel before as well. He looked very racy. It was obviously a shame about his first lap incident, but following that, he had some good battles with the Red Bulls, and overall, I thought he drove very well. He had a good race.
You know, I think to a certain extent he believes he can still change Ferrari's mind, which is that he wants to continue racing there. And I think he can try and convince, well, he's thinking he can convince them to hold off on Leclerc for a little while by pointing out, look, I'm still able to race. Whether that's going to actually work is a different matter. I think Ferrari may be looking for new blood anyway. But he was very racy, but I think it's in response to that.
Well, the talk is that it will be sorted out. The Ferrari number two driver for next season will be sorted out in the summer break. Mm. So he's got two more races. So the likelihood is he's thinking, you know, in this period up to the summer break, if he can get a string of good results, this is the crucial part of the season for him in order to, you know, get another contract.
Yeah. I mean, I have the idea, though, that Ferrari's liking the idea of a young driver.
If Raikkonen was how he was yesterday, though, I'd be quite happy seeing him in a Ferrari next season.
Yeah, no. I just have a feeling that Ferrari's all very about public image as well. Oh. And I think Leclerc fits their public image.
Raikkonen doesn't. Raikkonen's a very popular driver.
Yeah, but this is going to sound harsh, but I believe it's probably where it's coming from. Raikkonen is also an old driver.
Yeah, well, he's 38 or so. Yeah. He's the oldest on the grid.
And whilst Raikkonen brings in, you know, the Chinese, he is older and he will have less of a fan base because of that. And I think Leclerc can bring in, you know, new blood and will bring in a younger fan base. Leclerc together with Vettel, the fact both of them are quite racy, and I think Leclerc will fight against Vettel, will bring a good storyline for Ferrari to sell as well.
Mm. Okay. Just one other thing about the top teams before I move on to Leclerc and some of the other drives we noticed. The speed of which Hamilton got past some of the other teams, some of the other drivers, I think, really shows the gulf in class in F1 at the minute. Between the top three, you know, the Mercedes, the Ferrari and the Red Bull. You've got me saying McLaren now.
Because Button said it.
Yeah. The fact that Hamilton got through so quickly, you know, it shows the gulf in class between the top three teams. I'm not even saying them now. Between the top three teams and the rest of the grid. It really shows what... as well, I think it was Marcus Ericsson who said, I want to win the B Championship, referring to coming P7.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. I mean, you saw it not only from Hamilton going up through the grid, actually, but also from Raikkonen going up through the grid. Yeah. Neither of them faced massive opposition. There was a bit of token fighting, but there wasn't really any massive fighting. I mean, you could see the straight outline speed advantage that those two cars had on the lower teams. And, if you're going to be part of those teams, you're not going to want to fight against them because your main focus is going to be the guy that's behind them. Mm. You know, the guy that they've just passed, because that's the person you're fighting against at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
These guys are essentially just lapping you.
Yeah.
They're not really, but...
Yeah,
you know, they are going to end up lapping you at the end. And to be perfectly honest, I think there's a gulf between the Red Bull and the Ferraris. I do think that the Red Bulls are sort of in the middle at the moment. They don't have the speed of the Ferrari or the Mercedes, but they're also a lot faster than the lower teams. Mm. I still think the Mercedes is the faster car. You know, it's just generally the faster engine. Ferrari's catching up, but it can be questionable with its handling abilities. I think what they're making up for in straight line speed, they're losing in their manoeuvrability around corners. We've seen them locking up quite a few times on corners that previously at the start of the season they may not have had a problem with.
Mm.
And I think it's because they're sacrificing that handling ability that they're so well known for straight line speed, to try and compete with the Mercedes. And I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, both Raikkonen and Vettel are very good at overtaking on tight corners. But if they've got the car where they're losing that ability, that's not going to work.
Mm.
That's what they've got used to for the past few seasons. And now you're going to change it up so they're faster in straight line? Yeah, it doesn't look correct. But I think the Red Bulls, they just can't fight at the moment.
Well, is this a good example to give the gap? Given there was a safety car, which went mm-hmm. in with about 10 laps to go.
Yeah.
You had the top five, because Verstappen's car had a failure. Mm-hmm. You had the top five. Ricciardo finished 9 seconds behind the leader.
Mm.
Hülkenberg in sixth was 28 seconds behind, and that's in 10 laps. That's 2 seconds a lap.
Yeah.
In 10 laps. That shows, that there's your evidence that right there.
And even then, you know, the Ferraris and the Mercedes weren't pushing out fastest laps after these 10. You know, during his 10 laps after the safety car, and I think plain simply they just didn't have the warmth in the tyres and everything like that to do so. But yeah, they weren't pushing out fastest laps.
Mm.
So they weren't doing the maximum of their abilities. They were doing a lot of defending, a lot of fighting, which slows you down as well. So yeah, it shows the difference. And the fact that Ricciardo was, you know, relatively significantly behind as well, says a lot, considering the fact that, you know, Raikkonen was fighting with Hamilton and Bottas and, you know,
well, Ricciardo couldn't overtake Bottas on the
old tyres. So it says everything, really.
Getting away from the top teams, first of all, I want to mention Williams, who had an atrocious weekend. neither of their cars, both of their cars ended up starting the race in the pit lane.
Yeah. And I just got hit by Perez straight out the pit lane.
Yeah, that was quite a scary incident.
No way. You wouldn't be expecting that coming out the pit lane to have a car flying across your front. And it was flying pretty much. I think the Williams is struggling.
Oh, the Williams.
A lot more than it should be.
The Williams is in an atrocious place.
Considering the engines and everything it's got, it should be doing a lot better.
Well, it's got the Mercedes engine, but, you know, they're bottom of the constructors by quite some way. They're only on 4 points. Sauber are second, bottom of 16, and they just never look like achieving
anything.
It'd
be interesting to see exactly what Williams has from Mercedes, if it's literally just the engine, or if they've got gearboxes and everything with them, because evidently there's something that is meaning bad car.
The Williams has said there's a significant flaw in the design of the car, which means that they lose a lot of performance aerodynamically, and that's why they're so far off the pace. They said they're just stuck with that in the design, and they need to get rid of that out of the design. But yeah,
I don't think that's necessarily fully what the problem is. I mean, even the McLaren's doing better than them, which is saying something.
Well, is that partly because of the drivers? I mean, they had Felipe Massa, and he said he left Williams for a reason or something along them lines. We covered it in an earlier show. Mm. But, you know, Sirotkin he's unknown, I think. You know, it's easy to criticise him for his consistently poor...
He's had a few mistakes that are a bit questionable, such as holding up cars that are lapping him. They are questionable. It says that I don't think he really knows what he's doing. Mm. If he's holding up cars that are lapping him, that's a very basic skill in Formula One.
But himself and Lance Stroll both have had poor seasons, but it's not where you think...
How much of that is the car, how much of that is the driver? You can't tell.
They both sort of deserve another chance with another... Well, you know, with a team that's able to compete with anyone. It's almost like the old days of... What was it, Marussia and Caterham, where they were just nowhere. Mm. Both. It's sad, really, to think, you know, a British team, Williams Racing, having such an atrocious British Grand Prix.
Well, the thing is you say a British team at the British Grand Prix, like that's a big deal that it's the only British team, but the majority of the teams actually base themselves in Britain.
Yeah, but I take your point, but I think Williams is a more historically, you know, it's always been a British team, and it's one of them historic big name teams.
Yeah, you could say that about McLaren.
Well, yeah, McLaren's as well, but you know, you wouldn't call Red Bull a historic, despite having a base here. You wouldn't call Mercedes a historic English team, despite having a base here. But Williams and, to a lesser extent, McLaren, I think.
I think McLaren is actually a greater extent. I mean, McLaren's been around for quite a while longer.
Haas. They've built a decent car, and they should be doing a lot better. They should probably be fourth in the championship, I would argue, based on the quality of their car.
I think Grosjean's let them down. To be perfectly honest, not sounding harsh and sound like we're bullying on Grosjean again, but
no, let's bully Grosjean.
I do think he's let them down. Not in this race. I'd argue he's not let them down in this race. I think that was a racing incident.
With Carlos Sainz after the safety car.
But I think if you look at the rest of the season, he has let them down. I think there was even a comment that one of the commentators had had an interview with the manager of Haas after the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, and they mentioned the fact that Magnussen had to go into the stewards because he had, you know, a questionable overtake causing an incident, and also the fact that Grosjean had just gone and crashed into a wall behind safety car, and he sort of shrugged his shoulders and went, that's a week at Haas. That's not the best thought process to have with a team that's got a car that can make good places. You know, they could be challenging Red Bull possibly, and yet the response is just a shrug of the shoulders and that's normal. And I think Grosjean to a certain extent is responsible for that.
But just to clarify, you think it was a racing incident with Sainz this weekend? He wasn't really that
comfortable. I don't think he was doing anything irresponsible for once.
Neither of them were in the points, and it creates a bit more excitement, I suppose. So yeah, the thing is that's quite funny, and we touched on it in an earlier show, is that when this Haas team was formed, we thought that Romain Grosjean, because he was the main man initially. Yeah. You thought that would be him basically getting that second seat at Ferrari once it became available, and you'd be absolutely amazed.
Be surprised if we saw Magnussen have the first car next season. I noticed with Formula One cars, the second car, as it were, always has the yellow band at the top of the car. You see it, you know, Bottas has got it, Raikkonen's got it, Verstappen's got it. They are the second car, and I think you'll see that being swapped around next season.
I'll have to make a point of looking for that.
I mean, if you're going to have a first driver, it's going to be the one that provides the results, and Grosjean hasn't provided any good results. He's had bad results.
And a word on McLaren, we mentioned before. Yeah, Alonso had a poor qualifying. He was 13th, but managed to finish in the points. He finished 8th in the race. You know, it's tantamount to how good a driver he is, really.
I think he was helped by the safety car with that, to be perfectly honest, though.
He was, yeah. We didn't really, as you mentioned, we didn't really see much of him in the highlights. He was just sort of about, you know, there wasn't anything anything spectacular apart from a decent start.
Yeah, no, I think the safety car, because of the fact that, you know, the lower level cars are so much slower, helped bring Alonso back into the fold, really, in terms of speed on the grounds that it held it up. I mean, in 10 laps with those cars, you're not going to get a massive gap between each other. And so I think it helped Alonso in that. But no, he was very quiet, which is suspicious, to be perfectly honest, because usually you'd hear him grouching on the radio about the situation. But he was very quiet, which I don't know if it just means he's just given up.
Maybe he didn't want to take up radio time at his friend Hamilton's home Grand Prix. Maybe he just wanted all the focus to be on his mate.
I get the idea that he might have given up.
Maybe that might be a genuine thing, actually. He might be thinking, it's McLaren's home Grand Prix, I'm not going to make a fuss here.
I don't think he cares about that anymore. Well, I'm not sure he cared about it in the first place, but I don't think he honestly cares about the situation anymore.
I think he's a man of honour. I think he might genuinely have respect for that. I don't know.
I think any respect he may have had has disappeared with his grid places.
And his hopes of winning a title.
Yes.
There's a few other interesting developments around McLaren. Eric Brulier, their racing team boss, quit ahead of that race. There's been a bit of a reshuffle there, but one of the results is Andrea Stella, who's very associated with Alonso, who's his race engineer for a long time, has got a promotion. And I forget the other guy's name, but basically it's Alonso. Some of Alonso's pals have got better roles at McLaren. So maybe he will be staying. Maybe he, you know, that's to kind of appease him a little bit.
Maybe. I think the only way to actually appease him is to have a car that bloody works.
Well, that's the best way, isn't
it? To be perfectly honest with you. I mean,
it's simple.
You know, it sounds blunt, but, you know, the only way to appease Alonso is to have a car that can actually race.
Yeah. And also, the other rumour around McLaren, I meant to bring it up in the last show, but didn't get around to it because of timing. But Kimi Raikkonen, there's talk that Kimi Raikkonen might make a return to McLaren if he doesn't get the Ferrari seat. He was very evasive when that question was asked, when we saw that question asked in the build-up to the race on Sky. But
I'm not sure that Alonso will allow Raikkonen.
The suggestion isn't for an Alonso Raikkonen partnership. The suggestion is Raikkonen to replace Alonso at McLaren.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends whether Alonso gives up his position. I mean, it's not like McLaren's going to get rid of him willingly. It will be a matter of Alonso walking out rather than McLaren getting rid of him. I don't think Van der Doorn's safe.
Yeah.
He's not really done anything.
No, he's not done anything of note. We barely talk about him on this show.
Yeah. Who the hell is going to want his position? Dunno. I mean, I can't see many drivers that have got ambition eyeing up a place in McLaren.
Well,
it seems to be a place where dreams go to die, not to be made.
McLaren seems to be a place where dreams dying are not made. There's the title of this week's show. Well, there's 2 points. Firstly, Lando Norris, the young McLaren driver, probably, you know, would get the drive should Van Dorn go. Secondly, surely you'd want to see it Raikkonen at McLaren just for the team radio.
Only if Alonso and Raikkonen are both in at the same time. Can you imagine that? One being overly sarcastic and the other one just being Raikkonen.
I was going to ask who you were referring to with the sarcasm.
Yeah, no,
but I wasn't.
Alonso's pretty sarcastic at the moment. So, yeah. Well, no, I think it would be brilliant. They should just open up the radio between the two of them so they can have a conversation whilst they're driving. It's not like they're going to be distracted going fast or anything.
Can they get Jenson Button on Sky Sports for the rest of the season and have him involved as well?
I think it is interesting actually to mention Jenson Button. We saw him on the Sky Sports commentary, and I think he did a good job. He mentioned McLaren a few times in replacement of Mercedes, but we've done that.
You're blaming him for our screw up, Charlie.
Yes, I'm completely blaming him for our screw ups.
Good. We'll tell him that. We will do a comparison of different pundits and who we like and don't like so much. We'll be back after the German Grand Prix. You looking forward to that?
Yeah, I'm hoping that Hamilton's going to see this as a challenge to try and take Vettel's home Grand Prix and win at that one. Hopefully we won't see the Ferraris and Mercedes touching.
Well, it's a Mercedes home Grand Prix as well.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be an interesting race at least. But I imagine Vettel's going to have it on his mind as well that Hamilton will be wanting revenge.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to that in 2 weeks' time. Thanks for listening to the show. Hope you've enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter at The Perfect F1 and V2 Sport Network. Yeah, thanks for listening and good night.
Good night.